chapter 9, and I am kicking off a new series this morning called Springs Eternal. So the thought of eternity has grabbed my heart and mind. I think sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the peripheral things, the here and the now of life, because, you know, we get busy. I mean, you got kids, you got grandkids, and then the month of May hits, and you want to go outside, and it's like, it just, our lives, sometimes we are just caught up in moments, and I really felt impressed this morning. I'm going to spend the next 3 weeks highlighting eternal things, and I always get excited for that because there's something fresh that we get from it. So I want to read a text here, 1 Corinthians 9, and I'm in verse 24. I'm going to read down to verse 27 and pray. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? So he said, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for this prize is temperate in all things. Now they do so for a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So he said, I run thus, not with uncertainty, and I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for the scriptures. I pray, God, that we would have open hearts and minds to receive it. And I pray for an eternal perspective in our lives. I pray, God, that we would have our eyes on the prize to finish that race, and that we wouldn't be hindered or bound by things that keep us tethered to the earth. Thank you, Father, for what you're saying this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Now, anyone ever heard of Dave Ramsey? So he says you should not use credit cards. But I do use credit cards because I want them credit card points. You know what I'm talking about? Like, with credit cards, they give you, and I have the discipline to stay on budget, so it's not an issue for me, but I've gotten paid back with points that give me cards for restaurants, or, you know, I have a Shields Rewards one, and I'm going to go buy myself a new camping chair. That's what I'm looking for. One time, I cashed all the credit card points out, and I was able to acquire a new camper. I got a pop-up camper, and that's been a blessing. I used all my points for that, and right now, you know, we're saving up all the points for one giant family trip. I want to go to Nova Scotia and see Elizabeth's family. It's going to take me 5 or 6 years, but we're working our way through that. And Lord willing, at some point, we're going to get out there. You know, heaven has its own reward system, and it's much better than the one that MasterCard or Visa offers. It's a reward system that pays eternal dividends. So I want to highlight for you the heavenly reward system. This is the reward system. If you want to accrue some points, this is the one that you want to have built up in your account. As I said, sometimes we get caught up in earthly pursuits. You get, you know, thinking about the desire for popularity or possessions. And the earthly perspectives sometimes that we pursue are short-lived. Earthly ambitions that we want sometimes for position or prestige, those things fade away. But what doesn't fade away is the eternal reward. So I'm going to highlight here the five crowns. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but there are five different places in the New Testament where it lists the crowns and the rewards that we're going to receive. And they're all New Testament epistles. I read about the first crown here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's what the scripture says, that everyone who competes for the prize, someone say the prize, everyone who competes for that prize, the prize of eternal life, is temperate in things. They do it for a perishable crown, but you and I get to do it for what? An imperishable crown. So the first crown I want to highlight for you is the incorruptible crown. And that word incorruptible means it is a crown that cannot decay. It's what we could call a royal wreath. In you know, ancient days, they would put that garland of oak or ivy leaves around the head. It's a laurel wreath that's worn by the victors of games. We could call this today a game of crowns because that's what we get to receive. The problem with the plants that you put on your head, though, is that eventually they do decay, but not this one. This one is eternal and imperishable. And Paul's point here is that like a runner in a race, a Christian has to give his all in order to receive that prize. That crown is associated with self-control. That's why the 27th verse said, I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection. So the strenuous self-denial of an athlete is a rebuke to the half-hearted, flabby Christian services sometimes that we see in the cultural Christian world we're living out here in America sometimes. Yeah, self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. That would be the ability to say no to yourself. You know, I remember when my boy Titus, who's 11 now, I can't quite pick him up like I used to, but when he was 2, he found himself starting to throw what I would describe as a little bit of a tantrum somewhere in Target. And I remember I picked him up. I don't know what he wanted, what he saw. He was reaching for something. And I just squeezed him, and the squeeze was a reminder that he needed to control his emotions or he would get spanked. And he got the memo, so he calmed down right there because we've been teaching him to control your emotions. That's what happens when people lose self-control. They don't know how to control their impulses. That crown that you're going to receive is going to be one that you get for mastery over the sinful nature, because your flesh is full of evil desires. I mean, it is after pleasures, and you have an appetite for food and for all the things that you want. It's insatiable. It is impatient. It's just something that sort of like runs wild. So this crown is given for you when you can overcome temptations, which is important in your life. It's important to have those personal disciplines, the daily habits that you have in your life, the devotions that you do with the Lord, the routines that keep your heart in the right place and keep you moving forward with God. That's how you keep your emotions under control. When I think about like the topic of suffering, you know, we sometimes wrestle with that. And a lot of times people will approach suffering, you know, with the intellectual side. And really what happens is a lot of people, if they're honest about it, they're grappling with sometimes the emotional toll that they go through. And that's sort of like a form of suffering that people think about. But when you can keep your self-control, when you can keep mastery over those habits, when you can stay disciplined in your life, you receive an incorruptible crown, one that will not wither, one that will not die, one that will last forever. Now, let me give you a second crown. I'm just working through the epistles here. So the second one is in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's a second crown. And this is what Paul wrote about. He said, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? So crown number 2 would be the crown of rejoicing. This crown is also called the soul winner's crown. It's the reward that you win for winning souls and loving on people. That's why the next verse, Paul said that you are our crown, or our glory and our joy. He's talking to the people of God there. In Philippians 4, Paul called people his joy and crown. This crown is then associated with soul winning. The scripture does say that he who wins souls is a wise man. I had an uncle who was a pastor of a large church in California, and I asked him what he did. He said, I knew how to win souls. I thought that was a brilliant statement. And I was hanging out with my friend evangelist Chris Michelson. Boy, he is a serious soul winner, whether it is, you know, on a street corner and he's witnessing to somebody, or whether he's doing crusades in Pakistan. That man knows how to win souls. And he just has such great joy with it. It's an amazing thing. Speaking of that, we are having a summer outreach I'm looking forward to. You can mark your calendars for the 9th of August, and we're going to be doing what we did last year with our friend Troy Furco, and he loves to get up there with the kids, pray for people. They're going to have that tent up for like a whole week, and their whole intention is to win souls. So this crown represents the joy and the reward that comes with sharing the gospel, the simple joy of sharing it. I was thinking about when I was like 20, I was working at a health food store. And, you know, people come and they go in the cashier line. So I'm checking people out. One guy came through. He was down. I heard him talking with his wife. He was going through some struggle. And just as he was about to walk out, I remember I looked at him. I said, hey, buddy. And he looked at me. I said, you know, what would really help with the problems you're facing with is having the Lord in your life. And he stopped and he looked at me at the door and he said, son, I think you're right about that. Thank you for the reminder. And I remember just it was fun to do that. I worked at like FedEx, you know, and UPS when I did Christmas jobs when I was younger. And what you have in the back of a trailer with you is a captive audience. And that was a great place to witness. You can witness to, you know, Mormons. You can witness to atheists. And they get mad at you, or sometimes they love it. It just all depends. And you can throw boxes at them, or you can win them to the Lord. But either way, it's fun to share your faith. You know, I get joy from doing that. So it's a fun thing to be able to do that. I often like to stop and pray for people. You don't always have to just throw Jesus on them. Sometimes the best thing to do is just say, hey, can I pray for you? I was walking out of Camping World yesterday, and I ran into some friends, and I was like, oh, I hadn't seen you guys for a while. And so they were going through a struggle with their children. I stopped right there. I prayed for them, and you could just sense the presence of the Lord in the moment. It touched your heart so much. What we're responsible for is to sow the seed. One sows, one reaps, but God is the one who gives the increase. And when you can share that joy, share your faith, be a witness, pray for somebody, that is when you receive some rewards. If you are depressed, I just want to encourage you not to pop some pills, but instead go share your faith with somebody, and you will turn that frown upside down. That wreath of rejoicing you'll wear on your head is never going to go away. If you would just learn what it means to share the joy that you have of the Lord with people in their lives. Now, crown number three, and I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're just working our way through these epistles here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. He said, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. That's the day you stand before him. And not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. Let's talk about the crown of righteousness. This is that wreath you're going to get for righteous living. Righteousness is living in such a way that pleases God. The scripture says in 2 Timothy 2 that if you compete in athletics, you are not crowned unless you compete according to the rules. So there are some rules for righteousness. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things will be added to you. You do the things that please him. You deny yourself. You live free from the constraints and the vices of sin. And you want to live in such a way that honors God. And that's righteousness. And this crown is awarded to people who live godly. I was thinking about my Grandpa Kenny. I do miss my Grandpa Kenny. All right. Now, Grandpa Kenny, he was like a simple man. He never did go to college. I remember the stories Grandma would say that he got saved at Myriad's Bible College when he was, or Bible camp, when he was like 17. They went out there and he watched his mom and dad, and he said they would go out dancing and drinking. That's what he said. They were dancing, they were drinking all night. They'd leave me home alone. I didn't want to live like that. I wanted to serve God with my life. And so I've always admired that about him. Now, if you have that desire to live for God, if you want to put him first in your life, if that's the life that you want to have, you know, this is the crown that's given for you. Grandpa, you know, he was a World War II vet. Like I said, I miss him, man. World War II vets love to get coffee and donuts. That's where I started picking up that little habit. He was telling me war stories, you know. He said that they used to call him Holy Joe, which was like a big insult in World War II. They'd say, oh, Holy Joe over there, because, you know, he wouldn't smoke cigarettes. He wouldn't drink. He was, you know, just trying to live, you know, a godly life. And he said that they would be on a B-24 plane. They would go into the bomb runs. They're getting shot at. Everything's blown up around him. It was quiet. And they'd make it through. He did 16 bomb runs like that. So he'd fly back, and they were all on the radio laughing and swearing. And then he'd get on the radio. He'd say, I didn't hear you laughing and swearing when we were going into that run, you know. So that's why he got the nickname Holy Joe. This is a crown given for people who are looking for his coming. That's what its scripture says right there. It says that they've loved his appearing. They're looking for the coming of the Lord. So my grandpa Kenny, he's a guy who was always looking for the coming of the Lord. In fact, he'd watch the news so much and get angry at people that one time my grandma grounded him from even watching the news. She said, I'm tired of this. He was looking. He was sure Jesus was coming in his lifetime. That's the hope that we have, that Jesus is coming, and I get to watch the world right now. And I'm watching India and Pakistan. They're talking about blowing each other up. They're positioning for geopolitical realities because they say China's getting weaker. I'm watching what's happening with Israel. I mean, it's an interesting place right now. The whole stage is set. But that wreath of righteousness is for you if you are living godly and are watching. There is a wreath that God has for you, an eternal wreath, a wreath of righteousness. Let's talk about crown number four. And I'm in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm moving forward here. 1 Peter chapter 5, which tells us this, that when the chief shepherd appears, it says that you will receive the crown of glory, which does not fade away. So now we get to talk about the crown of glory. Glory, effervescent, effulgent, incandescent. And I'm telling you, this thing is going to glow, and it's going to be better than the dinky Christmas ornaments you have around your tree. It is going to be a glorious thing that you get to wear on your head. You know, each of these crowns has a specific context, right? So like the badge that people will get for battles they went through or military campaigns, or, you know, sometimes you get the insignia ranks on the soldier of an officer in the military. That's kind of what these crowns are going to show, is the things that you went through and endured. And this crown is specifically for people who've done work in Christian leadership. It's a reward for faithful Christian leadership, which highlights the importance of being a leader and caring for people within the Christian community. When you hear Christian leadership, your mind automatically goes to thinking about being the pastor. And I'm just telling you, this crowns me for more than just people in the ministry. There's things that we call like the lay ministry, which means that you're just, you know, someone who serves in a church, perhaps in an eldership capacity, or you lead a team, you know, where you're helping people, or you work in a nonprofit and you're working, you're serving in some capacity. And, you know, I just think about people who I've known that have served in church. Where's my friend Jeff Urso? He's, you know, that Jeff Urso's dad was my children's pastor back in the day. So he fell into this early as a young person. It just kind of stuck with him his whole life. And so there gets to be a crown one day for Christian leadership. You know, I was thinking about, you know, my friend Paul Blady. You know, he's up here singing. He's an elder at the church here. And we were talking about, like, you know, remodeling the place. And Paul is, like, salivating at the thought of getting this platform out of here and putting a nicer one in. He gets excited about that. There's a crown that comes when you get to do something like that. I think about Pastor Kyle in the back over the sound booth. He does whatever we ask him to do. And like Jeff, I think his dad was, you know, in the ministry. He was also a police officer, but he fell into it. He came by it honestly. And so he just loves to live his life that way. And for that, there is a crown for people who are willing to do those things. Or I think about poor Pastor Daniel. He did the same thing. His grandma and his grandpa and his mom and dad, they are like super church people. They've always been involved in the leadership of doing things everywhere they've been. And so it just crowns given out to people like that. There's a wreath that's a reward for the pastors and the preachers and ministers. And it's the reward for the faithful service years of ministry. It's the sacrificial nature to leadership. Sometimes people get ideas, it looks glamorous, but really, there's a real sacrificial nature to it. I was in Helena a few weeks ago for the Church Ambassador Network. So we're working with some of the congressmen, the liaisons up there, encouraging them, praying with them. And, you know, it's a funny thing. I'm old enough now where I knew a lot of people up there. Like, some of the reps, I was like, oh, he came over talking to me. It was Vince Rickey. He used to own Rickey's Thriftway. I went to high school with his kids. He came talk to me. My high school history teacher, Lee Deming, was there. I was like, man, I hadn't seen him since high school. And I'm sitting there, and then I got, when my friend Lindsay came and said hello to me. I went to youth group with her. And the first question she said to me, she said, how is Pastor Hall? That's where she was going to church at before she moved up to Helena. So, you know, I said, I think he's great. So I just ran into him at the National Day of Prayer the other night. I said, hey, you know, my friend Lindsay said to say hi to you. And he's like, man, I haven't seen her in 20 years. But he left a mark in her heart. I was telling him, that's an invisible thing. I don't know what the metric on that would be to measure. But it was just like, man, you could just see that. I think about some of the heroes I've had in ministry. My friend, Brother Branton. I love Pastor Mike Ware and my friend Larry Stockstill, and I know you have heroes. And sometimes that invisible legacy someone will leave in your heart, there will be a reward for that in life, in the afterlife. It's that radiant crown of glory that awaits those who are willing to lead. Now, crown number five is where we have some fun. I'm going to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. This was written to the church of Smyrna. Now, Revelation 2, verse number 10, here's what the scripture says. Jesus said this, do not fear any of the things which you are about to suffer. Someone say suffer. Because he said, indeed, the devil, old Slewfoot, is about to throw some of y'all into prison that you may be tested. And he said, you'll have tribulation for 10 days, but be faithful until death. And he said, I will give you the crown of life. Let's talk about crown number five, which is called the crown of life. This crown has also been called the martyr's crown. Now, martyrdom is a spiritual gift. That's what we like to teach it as, you know. But it is a one-time spiritual gift. If you have the gift of exhortation, that's a gift that keeps on giving. Martyrdom is sort of like one and done. Now, this crown is also listed in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 12. It talks about the crown of life, which is given to people who endure temptation. So endurance is the key to obtaining this crown. You will be crowned for faithfulness in the face of persecution. And I'm just telling you that, you know, living out here in the Western world, we have a limited perspective of persecution. So next year, Lord willing, I'm trying to get to Moldova. And my friend, Pastor Marine, he's been here. I want to do a pastor's conference with him. Now, Moldova was part of the old Soviet bloc next to Romania. That's where I'm trying to fly into. Now, Romania during the Cold War had some of the harshest anti-Christian rules that there were. And I'd love to read the story of a man named Richard Wumbrun. And Richard Wumbrun was a pastor in Romania. And in his book, Tortured for Christ, he would just talk about some of the stories that he endured. They would put them upside down in a cold cell, and they'd swing them back and forth and hit them with baseball bats like a pinata as they would swing. He said that they had an icebox refrigerator cell. And he said they'd put you in there long enough, and they'd have a doctor on hand, and just as you were about to go into hypothermic shock where you would die, they would pull you out, let you warm up, and then put you back in the prison again. So he'd been in prison 14 years. He called that a light affliction. 10 years the first time, 4 years the second time. And when he left there, even to the day he died, he said opening a refrigerator was very hard for him because it reminded him of that. He said they'd place them in wooden boxes that were shaped like coffins. And they'd put nails in those things. And he said it was cold, so as soon as you start shivering, it was so tight that as your body would vibrate, it would start getting pierced by the nails around you. He said it was just horrible experiences like that. He's gone to be with the Lord. He was a great man. I think about my friend Hanuk. I got a phone call from my friend Pastor Mark, who I met Hanuk with. He said, hey, pray for Hanuk. He is running from the police. He's in India, in the northern part of there. And if you have a church, they're monitoring you. And as many times he's had to, like, you know, hide and evade people because of the work he's doing for the Lord. I met a man in Israel named Stephen Curry. He had the largest Arab Christian church there. His brother George was killed on the Mount of Olives by people. And Stephen Curry told us, he said, I fully expect to die as a martyr. He was talking about how many times his church had been firebombed. And he said he was ready. Now, this is a crown given for those who persevere through temptation, even we read in Revelation 2, up till death. Let me give you a little walk down church history. Have you ever read or heard of the book called Fox's Book of Martyrs, which is a history of martyrdom in church? People like William Tyndale, who translated the Bible, and they didn't want him to translate it, so they killed the man. And I'm grateful that we have the scriptures in a language that we can read today. You know, all the disciples, with the exception of John, were martyred. And someone has said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Of all the places I've been to, I think for me, Rome was one of the most impacting places, because you could see the persecution there. It was palpable, whether it was the Colosseum where they fed Christians to the lions, or the Appian Way that marked the road to Rome where people were crucified, or, you know, the burial, the death places of Peter and Paul. Peter was crucified upside down. And in today's world, you know, we don't think about it like that. We think we have civilized governments, right? Today, you wouldn't see things like that. Except that in India, a prominent pastor was killed just last month. A lot of people knew the man. And in the Democratic Republic of Congo, in the month of March, they found a church where 70 Christians were beheaded. This is in Africa. And I was thinking about when ISIS was in Iraq, and a guy I follow whose name is Canon Andrew White. So he was a bishop. He's called the Bishop of Baghdad. That man was giving the story of when ISIS was taking families, and some of the families that were Kurds in the northern part of Iraq, if they wouldn't convert to Islam, they were killed. And so the parents told the kids, just tell them, lie. It doesn't mean anything. Just say that we're Muslims. But the kids said, we will not do that, and we will not deny Jesus. And 10 of them were beheaded because of their testimony. They wouldn't do it. 1 in 7 Christians around the world, this is statistics from last year, are persecuted. And they estimate that over 4,000 Christians were killed in the world for faith-related reasons. So martyrs' crowns are reserved for the select few. And one day you'll be able to see people who made the ultimate sacrifice to get that crown. Now I want to give you one last verse, which is Revelation 6 and verse 10. Because along with wreaths, you're going to receive robes. Revelation 6, verse 10, it says that they cried out with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. Now, I take this passage to relate to martyrs in the future tribulation period. During the time of the Antichrist, people will be martyred. And these are the souls of those who are slain for the word of God's sake. If you look at verse 11, it says that white robes were given to each of them, and it was said to them they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants, their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was complete. Let's talk about the robes of righteousness. You get garlands for your head, and you're going to have garments for your body. Now, 7 times in the book of Revelation, it's going to talk about these robes, which it describes as fine linen, clean and bright. It says the fine linen is for the righteous acts of the saints. So you get to wear royalty. It's going to be without spot, and it will be without wrinkle. And one day we're going to be clothed in white, wearing radiant robes. And that word for bright is the Greek word leukos, which means that it is going to be shining, like Snow White, which is the brightest shade of white that there is. That's what this robe will look like. It's kind of like if you've ever been up to Red Lodge Mountain on a snowy day skiing and the powder's there and the sun comes out, and you better have some goggles on, because that, you know, light hitting the snow is so bright, they call it being snowblind. And that's the kind of shade of white you get to wear in that robe. There's only one kind of bleach that I know that is able to make a robe that white and blot out the stain of sin, and that is the bleach of Jesus' blood, which is what the scripture says in Revelation 7, verse 14, that our robes be washed in white in the blood of the Lamb. And it tells us in Revelation 1 that that is with his own blood, the blood of Jesus. What we took during communion, that simple act, it is the thing that has the power to nullify sin in your life. What a glorious thing. When sin gets nullified, that is when you get a conscience that gets cleansed. Do you value the cleansed conscience you get to have? You can stand in the presence of God free from sin, free of guilt, free of shame. That's the power of his blood. It gives us access into the very throne room of heaven. Imagine that you could wear garments that will never need to be washed again. They're never going to smell like body odor. There's going to be no stains on them. It's going to be beautiful. There's going to be no more laundry in heaven. And my wife, who has got three kids, will be thrilled about that. No folding of those clothes. We will be clothed in righteousness forever and forever, and it's a beautiful thing. You know, I was thinking about my Grandpa Kenny in World War II. I do miss that generation. In those days, people preached about eternity and eternal things often because life was so hard. All right, they went through the Great Depression. Grandpa was out, you know, in World War II, fighting with the Nazis. I was complaining one time about Elizabeth and I having to go through immigration because we had to wait. And Grandma was like, you know, Kenny got shot down by the Nazis and was missing in action for a week and a half. I don't know if he's alive or dead. I was like, all right, you win. All right. No problem. So Grandpa's fighting Nazis, and kids today are fighting zombies on, like, computer games. I mean, it's just like a different world, right? Life is easy in 2025. And we get lulled into the comforts of, like, a Western world, and we forget to be watchful of the eternal race that we're running. So I just got to warn you, just to be clear, I'm going to warn you, because the scripture says that you can lose your reward, and I don't want you to lose your reward. Look at, I'm putting the screen up here, 2 John chapter 1 and verse number 8. Here's what the scripture says, 2 John, look to yourselves. That means you got to be watchful. And only one who can do it is for you. You're the only one that has control of this. Look to yourself that we do not lose those things that you worked for, but that you might receive a full reward. A full reward. A complete reward. The Greek word is the word misthos, which means wages, or it's insinuating like a payout. You know, if you have a retirement account for a corporation and it's in a 401k or perhaps it's a pension. Some situations, if you have an early retirement, they get a penalty on that. There's a deduction that's taken out. And so I'm just here to tell you this morning, I want to finish my race strong. I want those eternal rewards. I want to store them up in my account. And one thing the Lord has been speaking to me personally about is that I kind of feel like I'm at the halfway point. I'm at halftime in the race. I'm 44. We've been doing this for 20 years. I'm like, wow, I'm literally at halftime. That's a theme that's gripped me. And as I understand football and sports, the game is won in the second half, right? Like that's the part of the race where you dig the most. And so I'm just excited about it because I don't want to, you know, lose the rewards. And you get rewarded for things like cups of cold water that you give out to people in Jesus' name. What do I have to tell you this morning? Repent, obey the word of God, walk in the light, and you will be clothed in white. I want to live with eternity in mind. I know it sounds so far out and ethereal to people with carnal minds who live in this world, but I want the rewards that are coming to me. And I'm telling you, they are better rewards than what your Visa or Discover card is going to give you. These are eternal rewards. What kind of crown are you going to have? Maybe you're going to have one that is incorruptible, can't be taken from you, one that will never fade away. Yeah. Moths and rust can't destroy it. Yeah, you're never going to have to dust that thing off. I know it's hard to comprehend things like that because we live in a natural world, but that's a crown, an incorruptible crown. Maybe it's a crown you can rejoice in. Yeah, where you can let your light shine, be a witness wherever you go. If you want that crown, just get yourself onto Walmart. There's all kinds of depressed people down there. You can witness to them, pray for them, get crowns in heaven. Yeah. The crown of righteousness for godly living. When you deny yourself, when you say no to sin and no to yourself and you live for God and want to live righteously and I'm looking for his appearing rather than looking for things in this world, that is a crown that is stored up for you. Maybe it's going to be a radiant wreath for the work you've done for the kingdom, for the sacrifices that you've made when you said, I will do that for the Lord. I'll take leadership of that. I will take ownership of that. And I'm telling you, there is a crown that's given for you. Yeah, the crown of life. You know, I don't think about Jesus in here. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake and the gospel will find it. When you lay your life down, that's when you get a great rewards in heaven. What kind of robe are you going to wear? Better than anything Prada has. It's going to be better than Gucci. And more comfortable than Lululemon. I'm telling you, it's going to be a glorious, radiant robe. That's a hard thing to comprehend, but we live in a fallen world. In heaven, they have beautiful garments and garlands for you to wear. Let me ask you this question. What is going to stop you from receiving that reward? Is it selfishness? Is it the fact that you're short-sighted and not running your race with endurance? Maybe it's the lack of self-awareness where you refuse to see the log in your eye and are always looking at someone else's problem. It could be that you can't say no to yourself and you've got appetites that run wild. I just want to challenge you this morning to run that race with endurance. And, you know, maybe you're like me. You're in that halfway moment right now. Maybe you're coming to the end of it. Maybe the race is just beginning. But I want to challenge you to run it because there will be eternal rewards that are out of this world. Amen. Now, who wants some crowns? Who wants robes, man? Hey, we can't comprehend these things, but this is what the scripture says will be given to people. So I want to pray for rewards in your life. Yeah. I want to pray that you run that race. I pray that right now in the name of Jesus. Let's all pray, Father, in Jesus' name. I just pray over the people of God here. I pray, God, that we would be Christians who are like Olympians, running and finishing strong. I pray, God, that we'd have the wisdom to know how to run that race well. I pray that we'd have an eternal perspective. Our eyes would be on the prize. Our eyes would be on the cross. Our eyes would be ever focused on you and looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. I pray that we would live our lives that same way. In the name of Jesus. Oh, amen. Dude, I'm sitting up here, I'm praying, and I see my boy, Cowboy Tim, in the back row. Now, I know the man has been through trials, but I'm telling you, what did I tell you? I said, because you wear a cowboy hat, I always think you're taller than me. I saw him the other day without his boots and cowboy hat. He's only a little taller than me. But I was just seeing you in the back, and instead of a cowboy hat, I was thinking about a wreath on your head, man. Woo! I was thinking about how the goodness of the Lord, his rewards being with us. That is an encouraging thing, man. You want to run that race and get that crown, amen? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Boy, I feel the Lord's presence here. Now, you know, have you ever entered your name in a raffle? Anyone ever won a raffle, like drawing? I can't think of too many I've ever won, right? So, you know, the thing with raffles is, you know, you have maybe buy into them, but what you got to do is you got to register in order to get the prize in the raffle, right? You have to have your name written or registered. And I'm just telling you, for that heavenly prize, you do got to register for it. And the registration has to do with you putting your name in what's called the Lamb's Book of Life. All right, and if your name is written in that, then you qualify for the prize. But the way that you get your name written in that life is simply by faith in Jesus. It's a real simple thing. When I put my faith in Jesus, God sees that, and he gets my name written and registered in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one day when the prize comes, one day when that drawing takes place, one day when you stand before him, that's when that prize will come. but you got to have your name registered. So I want to give you a moment. We're doing the registrations right now. Would you like to buy a raffle ticket? And the raffle ticket is for eternal life. This is one that is a beautiful, beautiful thing for you. So every head bowed, every eye closed. If you can't say that your name is registered in the book of life, if you can't say that my faith is in Jesus, if you need to give your heart to the Lord, if you're on the wrong track and you need to get around him, I want to give you an opportunity to get your name registered in the Lamb's book of life. You just put a hand up and I will pray with you. And we'll get some names written in that book of life. Registered for the prize. All right. Now I want to encourage you with something. I want to encourage you to go get some people that you know that need to have their names written in there. And bring them to church. Connect with them. Tell them about Jesus, man. You could do some amazing things in someone's life. Let's go ahead and sit up this morning. I get excited about this, you know, because I got a theme for it. And I'm going to delve into the topic of heaven. That always excites me. I like to think about eternal things. God is so good. He loves us so much. I just feel his presence here with us. I'd like to pray with you if you need prayer. I would love to take a moment praying for you. If you want to, anything in your life you're going through, the race that you're on, struggling, maybe it's trials, maybe it's things you got to go through. I just want to pray with you and encourage you. We love you very much. I want to challenge you to sign up for that luncheon that Elizabeth's having. It's going to be a great time. Bring a friend with you. Olive Garden will be great. We love you very much. I will catch y'all next week. Like we said, if you want prayer, the altars are open. And man, I got a couple of y'all sitting back there. I haven't seen you for a while. I want to say hi. So can I get Tasha down here? I want to say hi to you. And I had one more I was looking back there. I'll grab them later. Anyway, I love you all. I hope you have a great Sunday. Enjoy this nice warm weather, and we'll catch you all next weekend. Amen.